something worth
hearing. I loved, it's funny, that part where you broke down McLuhan as an actor. I've heard you say that so many times, but not exactly in that way. And I finally really get it, what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the panel, that was another point. He was doing his script. I mean, Auden was just giving his point of view about whatever showed up. McLuhan had things he wanted to say, and he got them in there. You know what I mean? And I've seen him say it in other places in that period, 1971. But he's not thinking. He's not really thinking. And he does say that in that quote. He says, what I say doesn't come out of thought. Now, that would be an actor. And in a way, an actor doesn't think. They got their lines, and they just do it instinctively. So, yeah, I'm glad you got the actor.
Well, he's embodying the insights that he's gotten.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Demonstrating it and seeing what happens when people are confronted with it, because they've never been confronted with it before. So he's
right.
Just like trying to put that out there and then let them respond purely and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's studying them. He's a playwright and the actor at the same time.
Yeah,
he's studying
exactly. Them. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so listen to this. It's very difficult, but I'm reading it to say this is how you would describe tactility. You have either or, that's normal dialectic argument, or binary.
Wait, when is? Are you
what?
Quoting something you? Are you quoting something you wrote a long time ago, or
no,
are you
no.
just saying this right now?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying this right now, and then I'm going to read something that someone else wrote. So,
okay.
And it's about tactility. So either or, the arguments you either with this side or that side, that's not tactile. Doing both is not tactile. But what is being tactile is doing both and, both slash
not.
And. You know, there's either or and then both and. This extra part, which is almost not within the verbal univocal zone, not in the word judgment, word argument level. There's some other proprioceptive stuff or whatever going on. So I'm going to read from a book. I just reading this book, a new book, and I decided that he is trying to describe tactility, but he's using a lot of postmodern words, and it's pretty complicated. But in the end, he's trying to show both and. So this is a professor named Gary Ganosko, a new book he put out last year called Critical Semiotics. And the subtitle is Theory, comma, From Information to Affect. Not effect, not E-F-F-E-C-T, affect. A-F-F-E-C-T. Excuse me. So, Critical Semiotics, Theory from Information to Affect. So you go to page 136, and he says, this section's called Tensor. Okay, in semiotics you talk about signs. And you talk about the signifier and the signified. The signifier would be your finger pointing, and the signified would be the football you're pointing at. So the pointer is the medium, in a way, the technology. So the signifier is the technology, and the signified is the content. So that's a basic dialectic that came from a guy 100 more years ago called Saussure. And that led into a certain school of linguistics. So then these French guys grew up in, you know, in Paris and that area with the structuralist dogma, and they tried to weasel themselves away from it. They knew that structuralist was too literary, too Gutenberg. So in the 1670s, they tried to figure out a way to point to a post-structuralist situation. So Gary Ganosko was a scholar of a lot of the French postmodern thinkers, post-structuralists, Baudrillard, Lyotard. He's actually, all the guys I write about in my long essay on the six schools of media ecology, he covers the same people, Baudrillard, Barthes, Lyotard, and Foucault.
Lyotard.
I don't do much. Yeah, Lyotard. Do you know him?
No.
L-Y-O. L-Y-O-T-A-R-D. Lyotard.
Yeah, that's
he was an art critic. In a way, he was an art critic. art critic turned philosopher. And he coined the term. He's given the credit for the term postmodern. He did a book, The Postmodern Condition, in 1979. So I guess it was one of the first books to highlight the word postmodern. Okay.
So I want to ask, Bob, before you go further, these guys, you said that they're concerned with visual space, and what else did you say? That you used McLuhan terms. And what I want to know is, did they use those terms?
No, but many of them were reacting to McLuhan. So these people are Derrida.
Oh, they did know McLuhan.
Oh, yeah. McLuhan caused them. You got Derrida, you got Deleuze and Guattari, they're a team. You got Baudrillard, you got Lyotard, you got Foucault. And then he talks about some people, new people, that aren't known, that he hangs out with.
But they were all paying attention to him and doing their own work.
Yeah, they're all generally like Marxist lefty intellectuals. And Ulysses was translated into French around 67 or so. And so these scholars were, now we can read James Joyce, who wrote these books in Paris. And they were interested in what people had to say about Joyce. And McLuhan's famous book, The Medium is Massage, had just come out in 67. There was Expo, the World
so
Fair.
So they came to him through that.
Yeah. I don't know if they went to Expo, but definitely Quebec and Paris were involved with the building of, or the whole phenomenon in Montreal in 67. And this is what Don Thiel says. I don't know if it's a theory, but he helped build and organize the McLuhan content of the Expo. So Thiel was on the ground, and he says that these guys found a guy, McLuhan, that wrote about James Joyce, and that's what they were interested. They wanted to figure out what to make of this book.
Well, that's something I hadn't considered, is that some people learn about Joyce and Finnegan's Wake through their encounter with McLuhan, and some people encounter McLuhan through their interest in Joyce and the Wake.
Yep. They're intertwined. And you can include Wyndham Lewis. Wyndham Lewis, good friend of McLuhan. Wyndham Lewis is a heavy factor in Finnegan's Wake and in Joyce's life. And so you look into Lewis, and that leads to McLuhan, or you do McLuhan, and that leads to Lewis, and then that'll lead to Joyce.
Okay, well, that's good. I didn't have that context for all those guys that you just mentioned.
Right.
So that's good.
So you have every one of them talks about McLuhan, reacts to McLuhan, tries to correct McLuhan, or go past him, or translate him. And so Lyotard all of them are describing tactility, but they don't use that word too much. They might somewheres, but the way McLuhan meant tactility as presented in Finnegan's Wake is what these guys are trying to explain. And remember, McLuhan defines tactility as not a sense. It's the interplay of sensory activity, but not a sense. Okay? So it's a paradox. So watch what I say here as Gary Ganasco quotes these different guys talking about something, post-structuralist, post-word, post-Gutenberg, and he's quoting these guys, and look what happens. This is what we're going to witness. He doesn't want to say, he doesn't know that he's doing tactility. And maybe he would never agree with me, but you guys might get it. So it starts off referring to the Mobius strip. We all know what the Mobius strip is. Now, things are going to be said here totally bizarre. So he's going to talk about the Mobius strip of the libidinal skin. The skin, libidinal, which for many people might be of the world of desire. So what the fuck is the great Mobian libidinal skin? Okay? You don't have to know. There's other meanings I want you to notice. So who's banging? I'm going to mute everybody and read this so it doesn't get...
All participants are now muted.
Just for everybody's info, it looks like Bob dropped off the line. Maybe he'll be back in a minute.
All participants are now muted. All participants are now unmuted.
Wow.
We can now. We can now,
Bob.
Right after Bob, Bill came on, we could hear you. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks,
what,
Bill.
Right after what?
Bill came on and said you had dropped off. And right after he said that, you came shrieking back in.
So, I don't know.
It's all good now, Bob. It was fucked up for a minute.
All right, so you missed the first 2 minutes.
Yeah,
so now I got to do it over again. I was reading and it was 2 minutes.
You have to start right over from the beginning.
We didn't hear anything after you muted us.
Yeah. You muted yourself at the same time as us, it seemed like.
Okay, I'm going to mute you.
All participants are now muted.
I'm now a host. Well, if...
All participants are now unmuted.
I'll keep you unmuted if you don't make it, don't move. Don't wash the dishes. Can you do that? Are you there, guys?
We're not moving. Yes, we're here. We're not moving.
Okay, here we go. This is page 136 of Gary Ganosko's book, Critical Semiotics. The section called Tensor Signs, T-E-N-S-O-R. It starts off talking about the Möbius strip. The great Möbian, in brackets, folded yet one-sided, libidinal skin or band that Lyotard theoretically unfolds at the outset of his book, Libidinal Economy, is a field. So this weird libidinal skin is a field of intensities, sometimes called forces, subject to decay by means of devices that carve out interiorities, in brackets, representational theatrical chambers, and therefore brace themselves against some outside, and in so doing threaten the skin's pure affirmativeness. Then there's a quote from Lyotard, "The operator of disintensification is exclusion, the disjunctive bar." Then that's the end of that quote, and then it says, "Inside or outside, this or that, but not both at the same time. Inside or outside, this or that, but not both at the same time. Not this," that's sort of like a noun, "not hyphen this, not this is the exterior negative relationality of the Saussurean," that's referring to Saussure, the early linguist, "not this is the exterior negative relationality of the Saussurean sign that cannot be treated in isolation. Lyotard's penchant for, quote, this or that, unquote, tight disjunctions, raises the question from a Derridean perspective, that's Derrida, of whether there are minimal and maximal states of absence. Derrida suggests that pure absence differs from this or that. The concepts of difference and arbitrariness are two ways of slowing down the spinning bar. As an author named Readings once joked, the sign in Saussure is a whole, because what it is really as much what it is not. Maybe even more so, if any consideration of the sign's body is discounted. So you see where he says, because what it is really as much what it is not, it's going to be something and not something, because it's tactility. There's some kind of interplay going on, but it ain't a sense, right? So he said, you know, it's inside or outside, this or that, but not both at the same time. But it can be both. And, but it's going to become both later. So let's see, there are minimal and maximal states of absence as well as presence. Okay, so then...
Minimal and maximal states, is he saying like there's peaks, there's extremes, there's extreme points that you reach and then go return, like frequency?
Well,
like the.
I'm looking at it. The whole range of sensory input is what tactility deals with. It deals with minimal input and maximal. It might be what you're saying, but that's the way I was thinking of it. So then he says...
absence. Okay.
Right. This is, if you were talking about something that is doing something in the brain, but it doesn't have any noun quality, then you might talk like this. And we're going to get more of this. So he says... This is an apt Leotardian joke. As for him, the slowing down and cooling of the aleatoric or chance movements of the spinning disjunctive bar that assists in producing the aforementioned skin, in brackets, the latter doesn't simply pre-exist the bar, but chicken and egg questions bored Leotard. All this leaves in its wake setups, marked notably by their emptiness, in brackets, in the guise of lack, things lost, nihilistic decompressions, boundaries that need to be negotiated, and the discriminations to which they give rise. Perhaps reading, he's a scholar, perhaps reading's whole has a finer coating put on it by Patrice Maniglier's insightful discussion of how semiostructural displacement, the logic of the signifier, was utilized by Jacques Lacan and members of a psychoanalytic school to maintain that the positionality of the sign, which included its own absence, could as a principle allow the subject's non-self-identity to support, or even guarantee, every term's non-self-identity in the signifying chain. Further, the subject as an effect of relationality and the lack of properties, saussures, in quotes, without positive terms, unquote. The lack of properties of terms in the negative differential struggle was a move that vexed Deleuze in his book Difference and Repetition in his thinking of plurality and positive multiplicity against the reduction of difference to opposition. That would be a two-way binary opposition, especially done by linguists. As an anti-structural masterpiece, one could claim that the very thrust of Deleuze and Guattari's 1977 book Anti-Oedipus is to find, quote, a pure positive multiplicity. Now just think of all the data coming into your brain through your different senses. And Tactile is trying to organize this multiplicity of sensory input, a pure positive multiplicity. Not negative, not lacking, not answerable to difference, but full of possibilities, transversal connections, and a-signifying terms, that's terms that don't signify. So a-signifying terms are included in the chain. Yes, they're full of possibilities, transversal connections, and a-signifying terms in the chain, all squirreled away in the deepest recesses of structuralism, no less. So again, they always end up in nothingness. It is worth noting that Leotard, in Discourse Figure, recognized that the Saussurean sign, that's the stuff of signifier and signified, Leotard recognized that the Saussurean sign and law of value contain a specific force of negativity. What's that mean? In brackets, negative difference. But it's not the only no he will work with. For instance, structural linguistics' deferral of designation and the inability to account for reference are regained. So the inability to account for reference is regained as instances of the introduction of figural visibility into the otherwise circumscribed system. Oh, I didn't end at the right point. But it is not the only no or refusal he will work with. For instance, structural linguistics' deferral of designation and inability to account for reference are regained as instances of the introduction of figural visibility into the otherwise circumscribed system. I will return to this strategy later in the discussion. Okay. Now, isn't that ridiculous, Carol? Why should one want to understand this? I suggest because of what I'm telling you. This is how this is spinning its wake in English. You know, Joyce puns and breaks up words and syllables into little bits. That's how you're going to show in a book form tactility. Well, Gary, I don't think understands that Finneganese type of tactility, but he's conceptually doing that. And I'll go to another paragraph, and I think we'll finish in time. Another example of him describing tactility a few pages later, page 141, we just read 136 and 137. So listen to this. I don't know what the spinning bar is. Maybe you have to read Leotard to find out what the spinning bar is. But he says, some of the features of Leotard's spinning bar appear familiar within the philosophy of desire. In Anti-Oedipus, that's a book by Deleuze and Guattari, in that book, Deleuze and Guattari define the disjunctive synthesis of recording in two ways. First, in terms of an either-or, that restricts by differentiation, that's in brackets exclusion and restriction, it restricts by differentiation one term for the sake of the other. This is in agreement with Lyotard. It's psychoanalytic use. This is his psychoanalytic use in agreement with Lyotard. This is in agreement with Lyotard. It's psychoanalytic use. Second, there is an imminent, that means pervasive use. Second, there is an imminent use. Doesn't mean imminent, just about to happen. It means pervasive. The shift here is not one. Listen to this. The shift here is not from one to both at once, but through an affirmation of more than both through the maintenance of disjunction. So the more than both would be the and, both and.
Both and.
Yeah.
The only thing I got so far.
So if you have if you have yes and no's or binary problems, you maybe want to reconcile them. You got opposites. So the ideal humanist thing is reconcile opposites. Well, we're in a world where that literary reconciliation of opposites is not enough. So the making of them as both, reconcile them, doesn't work because there's other dynamics going on that only tactility would witness. So here it is. I'll do that again. The shift here is not from one to both. The shift here is not from one to both at once, but through an affirmation of more than both through the maintenance of disjunction. Then he has either, in quotes, either, or, so like an ongoing. Then he quotes a novelist character named Fletchig. Fletchig is not both doctor and god. He's a psychiatrist in the novel. Fletchig is not both doctor and god, in brackets god, friend and after god, friend and enemy. So he is not both doctor and god at the same time, but more than both. If by both is suggested a resolution of some sort, in brackets, synthesis of contradiction, resolution of contraries. That's the both world. Instead, there is in an affirmative disjunctive proliferation and opening out, a release of ors. Remember I went either, or, without restriction. A release of ors, like either it's this, or that, or that, or that, or that, go on and on. Quote, this is free disjunction. The differential positions persist in their entirety. They even take on a free quality, but they are all inhabited by a faceless and transpositional subject, end of quote. A subject who drifts, perhaps flies over, among the ors. For Deleuze and Guattari, these flights are inscribed on the body without organs. For Lyotard, tensor signs bring into existence the libidinal skin, but with one exception, no inscription. Or, to quote, no assignable site of inscription, only punctual incandescences without instantiation, end of quote. And then the final sentence, and the intensities of the skin are weakened by exclusive disjunctions. The tensor sign is aligned with the imminent use of the disjunction. It is worth underlying this. The question for Deleuze, Guattari, and Lyotard is not meaning, which is search for a signifier and signified. It is productive use in a montage of forces. That's tactility. Productive use in a montage of sensory forces or input. So we probably got 5 seconds. I know Neufeld came in. We can talk a little bit after the recording ends in 20 seconds.
Nothing to fix, hold, or fold. Nothing to lift, or find, or transfer. Nothing to sleep on or remember. Nothing to hide, forget, or figure out. Nothing to conceal or carry, break, wear down, wear out, or bury. Sweetheart.